Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are looking at what COVID-19 has done on some of our pockets. We're going to be talking to a banking expert about how COVID-19, the fact that people were at home, the fact that some businesses weren't able to operate and the like, has meant that what it has done in terms of people's ability to pay debts, people's bank accounts, disposable income, and some of those issues. And to help us to unpack some of these issues, we are joined by Punki Modise, who is the Chief Financial Officer for Retail and Business Banking at Absa. And she's going to be, just giving us some color, because they've actually found that from their payment relief program which was launched at the end of March, that more than 376,000 of their account holders have taken advantage of the payment relief across that retail and business banking unit. So we're going to be maybe discussing what this actually means in the greater scheme of things, and maybe she can just tell us some of the things that they are doing to help some of their customers. Punki, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. And you, Mudiwa?
No. Thank you so much for this. Perhaps to begin, to inform our listeners, how does the payment relief program actually work, and what was the rationale for you guys coming up with this?
Thanks a lot for that, Mudiwa. So I think maybe from my side is before I go on to the nuts and bolts of how the payment relief program actually works, I think it's best to start off just by setting context in terms of, why we got to a space where we needed to launch a program of this nature. So I think the rapid onset that we saw that was brought about by the COVID-19 pandemic led to the Basel Committee of Banking Supervision members to sit back and look at, how do they help customers in the current crisis. And I think the first thing that the committee did was to acknowledge the extraordinary circumstances, and as part of that process, they deferred various programs that banks were expected to implement, including Basel III, to create further operational capacity for the banks so that they can focus on ensuring that they assist customers at this difficult time. And I think the second issue was that, COVID-19 highlighted the need for greater flexibility, for banks to take further actions if needed, under the current context. And largely, the flexibility came about as a result of relaxation of some of the Basel III framework requirements. And what that meant from a Basel III point of view is that, the framework for Basel III largely addresses, defaults, and it addresses non-performing loans. And also it addresses, forbearance in terms of, how do you deal with those particular categories of exposures. And in the main, I spoke earlier on about, introducing flexibility. And what that largely means is that the member countries were allowed to introduce various measures across various jurisdictions to alleviate the financial and economic impact of COVID-19 crisis. For example, payment relief measures implemented as part of this framework were not supposed to automatically result in a significant increase in credit exposures. Thus, what that means in essence is that the exposures, generally you would have expected them to move from what we tend to refer to as a 12-month ECL, which is expected credit loss, to a lifetime ECL measurement. And what that means is you would have naturally seen a significant increase in impairments coming through and provisions coming through from the various banks. But then the regulators saw the need, given the fact that we are going through COVID-19, to relax some of the measures that relate to those processes. And ultimately, it meant that banks can provide offerings such as the payment relief. And then I think to move on to how our payment relief program works. Our payment relief program is largely a comprehensive solution that applies to credit products in the main, and that is including our home loans products, vehicle finance, personal loans, credit cards, as well as commercial assets and mortgage-backed lending loans. And these solutions largely cut across most of our customer segments, which is your wealth, business banking, private bank, and retail customers. And to a large degree, we try to ensure that, from an APSA point of view, when we deploy these measures, we considered mostly customers that are currently in good standing. And currently in good standing is, as at the 29th of February, we expected those customers to be in good standing. And I think over and above that, we also consider things like fees and penalties, and we ensure that as we deploy this offering, it does not include any fees and penalties on top of that. So I would say that, that's what the mechanics of the program really, at its nuts and bolts relate to. But at the same time, it does not necessarily mean that there were no other measures that were granted to customers who are not in good standing. So at this point in time, as part of our efforts in banking generally to nurture customers, particularly when they experience distress, we've got various distress measures that we apply. And to a degree that customers do not qualify for payment relief mechanism, there are still other mechanisms that are in place to help ensure that, we support customers more in a rounded manner. So that's roughly, I think, what payment relief and also mechanisms and measures that banks have in place at the moment. So I think the big thing that happened, as a result of COVID-19 is the fact that the regulators did come to the party significantly in terms of allowing banks to really think differently about how they treat, customers that are experiencing more or less, I would say, short-term stress rather than long-term stress.
Now, for our listeners who might perhaps not fully, understand banking, could you give us a practical example of what it means, especially from a consumer point of view, or maybe a business owner's point of view? Does it mean that if I have, a home loan, that I can defer certain payments? If I have a car loan, what does it actually mean? If I have a personal loan from the bank, like, what does that actually mean in a practical sense?
So at a practical level, what it entails is that if you have a mortgage loan, as an example, and you expected to make an installment of 1,000 rands a month, this relief largely means that you don't have to make your monthly obligations, on a monthly basis for a period of 3 months. However, after 3 months, you are expected to start repaying the bank. But what we have done from an APSA point of view is that we have taken then, that 1,000 rands per month, which will equate to 3,000 over a period of 3 months. And then we've tagged that onto the end of life of your loan. So we've extended the life of your loan. So if it was supposed to end 20 years down the line, we've just extended it, say, by a further 3 months from a simple calculation point of view. So that's largely what it means. That means then from a customer perspective, that allows the customer at least to have some kind of additional cash flow that they can use to meet other obligations that they may find themselves in. And in other instances, what you find is, you know, there's customers, you know, who have been put on, you know, unpaid leave at this point in time. And this mechanism is largely meant for situations like that, where your employer cannot pay you, say, a salary for a period of 3 months whilst we are all on lockdown. And then you can use this facility, you know, to allow you not to have added anxiety in terms of how you honor your monthly obligations to the bank.
And is this something that is, I guess, voluntary? I'm asking because, you know, given some of the information that I've read about the take up, it's 370, more than 376,000 account holders have taken advantage. So I'm assuming that there was a sort of like an opt-in sort of period where a person had to be opting in. Is that still open or has that period closed?
Absolutely. The scheme continues to remain voluntary. If anything, I think as a bank, we are encouraging those customers who are still able to meet their monthly obligations to rather, you know, make the necessary payments from their side as opposed to taking up this offering, because we largely want to try and extend this offering to as many customers as we possibly can. And for us to effectively do that is we are also, you know, encouraging those customers that do not necessarily require it not to take it up, so that you give capacity, you know, to those customers that actually require the functionality.
Okay. And can you give us just a sense of the number of people that have taken up? We keep bringing up this 376, more than 376,000. On your side, in your business unit of retail and business banking, what proportion of account holders is that? And do you think that sort of gives a fair indication of the type of pressure that consumers in the broader South Africa sort of feel at the moment?
So I would say, you know, the 376,000, first of all, that we're referring to talks to the number of account holders. So in terms of, you know, the broader South African population, when we overlay, you know, the risk profile of these customers that have taken up the relief, we find that, you know, it almost matches almost 100%. To our overall portfolio distribution, which largely means that, you know, customers across all segments are actually taking up this relief. So at this point in time, it's not necessarily maybe like your lower end of the market segment customers where you expect the biggest strain, you know, to take effect almost immediately. But we're seeing that, you know, across the board, customers are taking up this relief measure, which largely talks to the fact that, you know, this stress is not only, you know, impacting on your low end of the market customers, which you would generally expect, but it's impacting on, you know, all customer segments. And I think key to that is the fact that when you look at the general macroeconomic environment and the nature of the stress that we are dealing with at this point in time, it's both a supply as well as a demand shock, if I were to call it that. And that manifests in the fact that, you know, we've got the lockdown. So global trade is currently, you know, not taking place. So that, you know, supply chains are to a large degree, you know, are put to a grinding halt. And that's what in the main driving the fact that you're seeing across the board that, you know, customers are under stress. So it doesn't matter whether it's business banking customers or it's retail banking customers. And I think key to what we are seeing, you know, at this point in time is that the crisis or the stress that we are working with at this juncture is not driven, you know, by bad practices, but it's driven by, you know, the health crisis that we are in across the globe.
And then I like the fact that you are bringing in this international aspect into everything, because I think we'd be keen to understand as APSA, are you guys implementing this debt relief just in South Africa? Because you guys do have some operations outside of the country. Is this payment relief just happening in South Africa, or are you sort of trying to institute it across the different countries, you know, just based on some of the risk profiles that you were highlighting earlier on?
Yeah, so I think as I mentioned earlier on that, you know, this is a global crisis. And because it's a global crisis, you had the, you know, Basel Committee members, which is a global body that sets the standard for and frameworks for the entire banking system. They set and they started to give relief measures across the board. So that really allowed us also as APSA to look at, you know, between the different jurisdictions, what are the things that we are going to do to ensure that we alleviate pressure, particularly for customers? And I can confidently confirm that from an APSA point of view, we have considered, you know, all the various countries, and we make sure that we do payment type relief mechanisms, you know, that relate specifically to those jurisdictions, and they make sense in those jurisdictions. I think from a South Africa point of view is we have to remember that, you know, South Africa, from right at the beginning of the year, we started off with a very soft macroeconomic environment. And if you remember already, between quarter three and quarter four, we saw GDP growing negatively between those two quarters, which meant that technically, we were in recession. So I would say that, I mean, the pandemic also just elevated the issues a bit more on our side, in the sense that the lockdown has really brought our economy to almost a standstill. And you can clearly see it also when you look at the, you know, any indicators that we look at or observe from our side, in terms of, you know, customer transaction activity or, you know, car sales. I think yesterday there's a report that came out around the decline in year-on-year decline levels in car sales. And when you look at also, you know, customer transaction level, you can clearly see that, you know, those are declining at rates that we have not seen before, particularly in the month of April. I mean, we saw like your retail volumes, as an example, coming down, you know, by about between 40% and 50%, depending, you know, within which sector of the overall retail sector you're looking at. So you can clearly see that, you know, the stress is, you know, beginning to filter through the economy, and we are already seeing some of the early signs of the weakening coming through.
Okay. And then I guess before we do end off, what are the conversations like with some of your customers and clients? Because I can imagine that there must be a lot of, appeals, or maybe, you know, customers coming in to the bank or calling up the bank, you know, just saying, guys, you know, this is happening, this is good or this is bad. What are the conversations that you sort of typically seeing? And what are some of the pain points that customers themselves are perhaps revealing to you guys? Because on the macro side, we definitely understand the macro picture that things are going to be, you know, contracting this year, likely the 6% that Treasury has projected, if not more than that. And that's that paints quite a bleak picture on the whole. But your actual customers, what are they saying to you guys?
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot for that. So I do tend to agree with you that, I mean, I think first of all, from our side, we obviously look at, you know, what happened, you know, during the 2009 financial crisis. And at that point, we saw GDP in South Africa coming down by, you know, negative or contracting by about 1.5%, if I remember the numbers correctly. And then the current expectations from a sub point of view is that we are expecting GDP to come down by about 6.1% at this point in time. And I think if you look at the most of the macroeconomic environment expectations is that, you know, some of the parties that are doing, you know, they're forecasting even more severe impacts, which would be somewhere in the range of between 6 and 10%. So I think at this juncture, when we talk to customers, first of all, I think they're quite complimentary of the relief measure that we've put in place from an APSA point of view, particularly from a perspective that they were not expecting that, you know, we could reach out, you know, that far to customers, you know, because generally the sense from customers is that, you know, the banks will give you, you know, facilities when you don't really require them, whereas when you require them the most, they'll take them away from you. But I think in this particular instance, they're quite complimentary in terms of, you know, how we as banks holistically have responded to the pandemic. And then secondly, I do think that we get feedback from some of the customers, you know, to the effect that they have lost, you know, their jobs. And in that particular instance, that information for us becomes critical in terms of, you know, differentiating the severity of the stress, whether it's a short-term stress or a long-term stress. So if you've lost your job for us, then we classify that as more a long-term stress. And then we know that we can carry high provision levels. And as I said, I think earlier in my conversation is that customers are definitely anxious about, you know, how do we come out of this current crisis? Are we going to come out stronger, you know, as we move forward? But there is a definite sense of anxiety across the board.
And then the Basel, you were talking about Basel earlier on, just from a global point of view, but locally, how would you say that the local industry as a whole has responded to this? Because I'm thinking about this payment relief program that you guys as APSA are having and trying to understand, is this in isolation just as APSA, or has there been some type of coordination perhaps with the rest of the other banks to say, guys, you know, as an industry, we need to at least offer some type of relief to our people?
So there has been a level of coordination. So if you remember, before we could go out to market and announce the various, you know, payment relief measures that we're taking as the various banks, we firstly got a decree from the state president that the banks can actually coordinate and collaborate on these issues. So for us, that was a big value lever in terms of ensuring that we as banks can sit and think about, you know, how do we support our customers during this difficult time. So, but I think what became difficult is that, I mean, we all have different systems and we all have, I would say, operational issues which are different from one bank to another. So it wasn't going to be practical to, you know, launch a program at an overall industry level. So a decision was then taken through the Basel subcommittees that each bank will have to deploy, you know, the mechanisms based on their own risk appetite and also on their readiness levels in terms of their systems, you know, from a deployment point of view, particularly given that, you know, as banks, we deal with significant volumes, and to effectively address volumes, you've got to have the right systems and mechanisms in place to allow you to handle, you know, high amount of volumes in a systematic fashion. So I would say at an industry level, there were conversations that took place in terms of, you know, how do we support our customers. But ultimately, we decided that each bank has to apply its own risk appetite and also look at its own operational readiness as we deploy this mechanism in particular, which is the payment relief. But at the same time, if you remember, we also took a decision, you know, as the industry, that we are going to, you know, remove the charges on ATM fees, particularly for our SASSA customers as we move forward. So SASS switch fees were some of the fees that we lifted during this time to allow customers to utilize freely any of the banks' ATMs without being charged any additional fees. Those are some of the things that we at an industry level, collaborated on. But beyond that also, there were, staff-related matters that we had to deal with, particularly in the context that banking was classified as an essential service. And then we had some conversations also in that regard in terms of then how do we make sure that as banks, we still offer effective service to customers in this difficult time.
And then lastly, what's your outlook for the retail and business banking sector for the rest of 2020? You guys, as APSA, I'm sure you guys have a number of different units inside the bank, a number of different segments. But as a whole, how are you feeling about your particular segment and its ability to perhaps recover when all is said and done in 2020?
Yeah. So I think at a sector level, you should obviously expect that there will be elevated impairments, that come through. And impairments will come through as a result of mainly those customers that are going to experience more severe stress. And I think we've spoken to a large degree around GDP. And, banks' performance is directly linked to how GDP performs. So if you look at, how GDP is going to perform, you can almost naturally be able to tell, from an outlook point of view in terms of where we are going to end up from a banking sector point of view. So I think if you look at the overall sector, my expectation is that we should see pressure, coming through across all the banks. And in my view is how the pressure is going to manifest is largely, I think, unsecured portfolios will be impacted to a large degree. And it's more from a point of view that those products generally have a shorter lifespan. And then once you get to your mortgages, as an example, mortgage products have got a much more longer lifespan. So what you will see is that the full impact you might expect to start to see next year or even the year after on your mortgages portfolio. But the one different thing that is quite interesting this time around is that because now you can't realize some of the properties that you may sell as a result of distress. So if you've got distressed properties that you have to take through foreclosure processes, those cannot be realized as quickly as we used to. And normally, there's a concept that we talk to in banking that is called the loss given default. So you expect those loss given default, numbers to start shifting out. And when they shift out, it means the riskiness is increasing. And then that's going to push up your impairment levels. So, for example, in the car industry, you will find that, there's potentially going to be significant impact on cars. So clearly, I think the picture I'm trying to sketch out to you is that banks should experience pressure from a revenues point of view because you've got a lot of your trading markets, significantly impacted by the stress. At the same time, is from an impairment point of view, particularly in the unsecured portfolios, you should be able to see stress coming through. And largely then, where you want to see a bit more benefit coming through is from a cost point of view, which is the area that we can control. And to a large degree is you start to look at, your investment spend. Do you spend the money now or do you want to, postpone your spend to latter years, when the economy starts to recover. So I think overall, all the banks' performance is going to be under pressure. The question obviously is, how severe is the pressure going to be? So in my view, the sector is going to show, negative trends, if anything, relative to prior years from a performance point of view.
Okay, so as you heard, banks are likely to experience some pressure just in line with what's going on with the economy and GDP growth. That's Punki Modisa, CFO of Retail and Business Banking at ABSA. Just unpacking some of the issues around consumer banking right now, and just letting us know that in terms of some of their payment relief, they've instituted a program that's allowing people to either extend or delay certain payments, and they've simply extended the payment period. So for using the example she gave, if you are paying 1,000 rand on a mortgage, for example, for the next three months, I believe, you won't be expected to pay, but rather 3 months will be added to the end of your mortgage payment period. And that's just to give consumers just that ability to have more money on hand to meet some of their other obligations. She's also just highlighting the fact that the number of people and the type of account holders that are taking up this relief is indicative of the fact that it isn't just one segment of South African society or South African economy that's impacted. They're seeing people taking up the relief across different segments, across different income groups, which means that the impact of COVID-19 has been quite wide-reaching. Also talking about the fact that they're looking at some of this relief across the operations in line with what's going on with the global banking body that's allowed banks around the world to offer some of this relief. There is some coordination amongst the banks in South Africa, but at the end of the day, it just depends on the risk profile and risk appetite of each specific bank and what they are willing to do.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Very informative discussion there with Punki from ABSA. And I think more than anything else, it just highlights the amount of pressure that is being felt by consumers and I guess business owners on the retail and business banking side at ABSA, but more than anything else for the country as a whole. Because interestingly enough, Nedbank was actually the first of the big banks to share how many people had actually, you know, approached it for its own debt relief program. That was 130,000. And then we also saw Standard Bank saying the other week that they had nearly 150,000 clients that had asked for installment relief. So, you know, just doing some quick maths, that brings you to about 280,000. And then you add the 300, and then you add in the number that, you know, ABSA is doing, that's about 376,000. And very quickly, you're close to more than 500,000 people that have applied for some type of debt relief, payment relief, when it comes to meeting their obligations across, you know, three different banks. Now, we haven't even spoken about any of the other banks that are in the sector, because, you know, there's still the investment banks, there's still the bigger, there's still, you know, the more niche financial services. And it just, you know, just gives you that little indication to say that all these people are saying that they don't have money on hand to meet their obligations. Please give us a little bit more time. And that is interesting that a lot of people are saying, you know, just give us a bit more time. They aren't necessarily saying, please wipe out my debt, because they understand, you know, that at the end of the day, business is business, and that these amounts of money need to be paid back at some point. And they're just saying, you know what, we're not saying we want to cancel our debt or we don't want to pay, but rather we do want to pay, but, you know, in time. And I think, you know, that just, it's an encouraging sign. ABSA says that they've been able to give about 5.8 billion rand in cash flow relief over that 3 months. Standard Bank saying that they are giving relief of about a billion rand, you know, per month. So, you know, taking that average, you're now looking at about maybe 2 to 3 billion rand every month that's being, you know, left in the hands of consumers. Very good indication. So going forward, it would be good to see what the sector looks like by the end of the year. As Punki said, it's very closely related and tied to what GDP and GDP numbers do. And it will also be interesting to see how that segment of the banking sector actually performs relative to other types of segments, because you've got wealth, you've got investment, different small business, different segments that you have in these different banks. So the health of that segment, I think, will give us an indication of the health of the consumer in South Africa. So that's been it for today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. As I said, we're with Punki Modise, CFO of Retail and Business Banking at Absa. Now, remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're hashtag BD Spotlight. You can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you so much to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a Multimedia Life production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.